Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8/10 of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What up it is? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Alrighty, fans, you know what time of year it is. It is basketball season. My name is Jess Thomas. Welcome to the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. On the first night of the season here, October 28th, 2015, a new year, a new season, and plenty of basketball to talk about. So you can follow us here at CLNS Radio on Twitter at www.twitter.com/CLNSRadio. Facebook, www.facebook.com/CLNSFans to chat with us there. We have a new Twitter handle for specifically the show, which is at CLNS Celts PG Show, Celtics postgame show Twitter feed, where you can tweet with us. So we're going to be breaking down here the opening night game between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Celtics won 112-95. Nice high-powered offensive game, clearing 100 easily. Sixers aren't much of an opponent, but we'll certainly break it all down here. I will be joined in just a minute by Calvin Chamberlain. I'm sure you guys remember, if you've listened before, the two of us did numerous shows last year, so we're starting out the season the same exact way. So I want to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. And get that free trial and courtesy of us here, and we'll have many more trials for you to try for the rest of the show here as we get going into it. We're going to be opening up the FanDuel call lines in a little bit. But first, me and Calvin are going to chat a little bit, so I'm going to bring him on here. Calvin, welcome.
Yeah, hello. Welcome to the first game of the season. Feeling good. Welcome back, Celtics fans.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We were put on this.
Yeah, put on the first game. I mean, the 76ers aren't the ideal game for me to want to watch, but, you know, what do? You deal with it. It's like the Celtics did tonight. They handled their business.
That they did. A 112-95 win, as I said. Let's just do a little quick game recap here before we dig into more topics. It was actually starting with the first quarter. The Philadelphia 76ers looked like the Golden State Warriors to start off the game. They were dominant, 26 points in the first quarter, and Jahlil Okafor, their rookie, the number 3 overall pick in the draft, was dominant in the first quarter. He scored 10 after 12 minutes, and Tyler Zeller, for some reason, could not handle his strength and size, and Okafor did not look like a rookie, and Zeller got benched and didn't come in again until late in the fourth quarter, so they obviously didn't like that. But then as the game went on, the Celtics double-teamed Okafor and double-teamed Nerlens Noel a little bit too, and then they went on a 21-2 run between the first and second quarter, and all of a sudden they were up 38-28 after trailing 26-17. So huge run there to get the lead. They ended up taking a 51-40 lead at halftime due to a Marcus Smart buzzer beater, which is an extremely nice shot. So that kind of gave them momentum into halftime. The Sixers hung around for the third quarter. They kept hanging around. They only scored one less point than the Celtics in the third. Unfortunately for them, they were still down 10 points. It was 12 after 3, 79-67. And then the Celtics, they let Philly creep around for a little bit in the fourth, and they put it away towards the middle half of the quarter, ended it with the 112-95 win. Calvin, before we go into specific topics, just your overall thoughts on the game as a whole.
Yeah, well, I know you were just giving a figure of speech, but I have to do what I do as host of the show. And or, you know, second host. What is my name? What's my title again?
Analyst.
I don't know. Analyst, that's right.
Analyst, yeah.
So what do I do on this show is disagree with my co-host. So I'm just going to start the season right off by saying that the Sixers never played anything like the Warriors. And the reason for that is the reason I say that, even in that first quarter, is because they had one total assist in that first quarter, two assists for the half. I've never seen a worse – I mean, maybe I have. It's hyperbole, but it's one of the worst passing performances I've ever seen. They dominated the game early, you know, basically with the individual one-on-one post play of Chiquilla Okafor, obviously. He made his first five shots, six of his first seven shots. Nerlens Noel was much more aggressive offensively than I'd seen him earlier. I mean, he settled into being the passive Nerlens Noel that I'm used to seeing offensively. But early on in that game, he was facing up on guys, taking mid-range jumpers. You know, say what you will about those, but he was still sort of taking guys off the dribble, getting to the rim. The 76ers, you know, they scored early off of great individual big man play, mostly. Not too much from the guards. I know Kanan had a shot or two, but it was mostly Okafor and Nerlens Noel taking advantage of Tyler Zeller and David Lee. And I think as soon as they, you know, went away from that man defense and sort of went to a zone and they trapped Okafor and Noel every time they got the ball, you saw that the 76ers just don't have the point guards to penetrate that the Celtics trapping rotating defense. They, you know, they had 22 turnovers. The point guards couldn't get into the lane at all. And when one of those guys wasn't making a spectacular interior play and taking advantage of their size / bulk, they pretty much couldn't do anything offensively.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was kind of fool's gold to think that that Philadelphia was really playing good. I was a little joking about the Warriors, but they were playing better than I expected. So it was, you know, that they were up by five after one. The Celtics shot poorly. They shot 8 for 23 in the first quarter, and you know, Philly was still only up by 5 points after one. So it was kind of deceiving. If the Celtics were on their game in the first 12 minutes, they probably would have been up by like 20 points already after the first quarter, because Philly really wasn't playing that well. It was just Okafor and Noel, like you said. So definitely something key there to note. So, and yeah, zero assists. They just have no team ball. They just, you know, one guy just drives the basket or shoots or does what he wants, and no coherency between different players and passing the ball. So definitely noticed that. But
I think go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I actually forgot what I was going to say.
No, I was just going to say, I think the second place we need to go right to is Isaiah Thomas. I mean, everything I said about the 76ers guards offensively, you know, the same thing applies defensively. They sort of had bigger guards, none of whom could even, you know, stand near Isaiah. He took advantage of his speed, his change of direction. He got in the lane whatever he wanted. He seemed to be more willing in this game to move the ball around than he is at other times. I thought he had a phenomenal game. You know, the only guy that could even stay with him somewhat is that guy McConnell, but he was so bad on the other end, and Isaiah kept luring him in fouls. Yeah, I thought he was he pretty much had a dominant performance in this game.
Yeah, Thomas had 27 points on 10 of 19 shooting, two rebounds, seven assists, three steals. In only 29 minutes, he almost scored a point a minute. He was 1 for 6 from three-point line, which isn't great, but 6 for 7 from the free throw line. So really played great in all facets except for the three-point shot. And I remember what I was going to say before. I did want to point out, just to make 76ers fans feel a little better, Robert Covington and Tony Roten were both out of this game, and they're two of their better players. So they kind of had to throw some guys in here. And as someone noted on Twitter, TJ McConnell and Christian Wood were in the game in the first quarter, and they're both undrafted, you know, rookies, and they were playing the first quarter of the game. If that doesn't tell you anything about this game, then nothing will.
Yeah, no, I forgot about Covington. It's hard to remember who's on the 76ers moment. Their team is so bad. Yeah, they just didn't have the ball handling. Jeremy Grant just repeatedly would make these wild trips to the rim. He lost the ball like three times on his own. just like one time just sending it like in outer space, essentially. I'm like, what is this guy doing? I don't know. Like, Kanan's essentially just a shooter. You know, he's, I don't know why he doesn't try, in that game in particular, he didn't try to take advantage to be more of a point guard. But yeah, their ability to penetrate was just completely nullified. The Celtics defense in that game was really good. Their blindside defense, in particular, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and Jay Crowder were just all, you know, hitting guys up on the backside. That play where, you know, Marcus Smart took the ball away from Okafor, where he had the ball around the free throw line, I believe it was in the third quarter, and he sort of went by David Lee, and Marcus Smart was right there on his shoulder and popped the ball right out. Love that play.
Yeah, it was, the defense was fantastic. A lot of, right as the Sixers players ran to the basket, they just kind of swallowed them up. Like you said, a lot of balls just flying all over the place, balls over the backboard, flying out of bounds. They were totally out of control for most of the game. So I definitely noticed that as well. So CLNS Radio, the CLNS Beat podcast series, and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, and sports, which is what we all care about. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and claim your free audiobook for people who are always on the go. We'll get to the FanDuel toll-free call lines in just a minute. We have a couple callers here. Don't want to make them wait too long, but I did want to cover a couple other things before we get to them. Once again, this is the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, opening night edition. I'm Jess Thomas. He's Calvin Chamberlain. You can find me on Twitter at @CLNS_JessSam. I'm also one of the hosts for the Red Sox Beat podcast here on CLNS Radio. So if you recognize my voice, might be from this show last year, might be from that show. It, we should do every week. So make sure to check that out. So before we get to the callers, Calvin, I want to get your opinion on what Brad Stevens decided to do with Tyler Zeller getting benched because Okafor owned him in the first couple of minutes. He didn't play from the six-minute mark in the first until about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Brad Stevens just didn't want him to take the chance. He didn't start the second half. Jared Sullinger did, who did much better on Okafor than Zeller did. Do you agree with Brad Stevens' decision to bench Zeller for that long?
It's funny because I was going to go there, but I was going to approach it to you from a different angle, which is, I know it's game one, but like I'll answer your question, but I'm just following it up with a rhetorical question. How long do you think that David Lee and Tyler Zeller are going to be the starting front court or the starting big man and power forward? I don't think it's entirely Zeller's fault. I just think pairing him with Lee is, and particularly with a team that has post players like Philadelphia and, you know, wants to run the offense through them, I don't think it's a very ideal defensive matchup. I think ideally you want to replace one of them with an Amir Johnson or a Sullinger if he, you know, continues to play the way he does, he did in this game. But, you know, career-wise, Sullinger's been inconsistent defensively. I don't, maybe he'll be better now that he's sort of been more in shape in this game, but I wouldn't immediately just hand it over to him. But that being said, yeah, I thought, you know, I sort of thought the same thing last year about Tyler Zeller. I can't remember if you're one of the people who are particularly fond of Zeller. I like Zeller because I like Zeller because I feel like he sets a fast pace. You know, he's one of the big men in the league that gets up and down the court, you know, as quickly as any big man in the league. I feel like although he doesn't have a lot of upper body strength and he's not a weak side shot blocker, I do feel like positionally he's a good defender. And when he's not overpowered, he plays good position. I feel like his lacking defensive qualities are overrated. I don't think he's that bad. And I just think he's so good at the pick and roll and, you know, things that the Celtics like to do offensively. He's also a pretty good, you know, he's not a terrible mid-range shooter. He sets a good screen and roll. I think that you can use him later in games. But I feel like so many times, even last year, we asked, you know, what's up with Tyler Zeller? I don't understand, and you know, maybe this is a thing between them two personally, but I don't get why Brad Stevens has so much confidence to just continue to start Tyler Zeller over and over all year. And then it's almost like he starts him to, you know, give him that little nod, and then he just never seems to give him enough minutes, even in games where he's playing well.
Yep, I always complained about that last year. I was always like, well, he keeps starting and he keeps playing about 15 to 19 minutes a game, which is less than most people on the team. I totally agree with you. He just, for some reason, he just gets relegated to the bench, whether he's playing well or not. So it's just something that Brad Stevens has done all last year and so far one game into this season, especially like extreme version tonight. So, and definitely interesting to see. And I do want to talk about the bench versus the starters and who should be playing what and if it matters later in the show. But I do want to get to our callers first. So we'll be opening the FanDuel call lines now, 347-215-7771. Do you love FanDuel as much as us here at CLNS Radio? Hit up CLNS Radio at CLNS Radio on Twitter and let us know. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code Patriots and sign up now. Special free offers from new users for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel matches up to $200. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people to use my code Patriots today. Don't forget to use my code Patriots. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. And Calvin, I don't know if you're a FanDuel user. I know there's been a lot of DraftKings and FanDuel excitement, especially recently. Are you a fan of that stuff?
I am. Yeah, I like to play. I like to play them both. To be honest with you, I don't. The scoring's a little bit different, but I have not done very well this season, to be honest with you. But I'd like to do better.
That seems to be the case with a lot of people. They love to do it and they never do well, but they keep doing it. It must be addicting or something.
I seem to be a lot better at weekly fantasy, ironically, or my yearly team seems to be better. But I from week to week, I seem to always pick the wrong guys. But it is exciting. It gives you a reason to care about games that you wouldn't normally be interested in. If you do have a bad fantasy team, you don't have to worry about it. You get that fresh team every week. It really keeps you excited.
Yeah, that's definitely what it seems like. So make sure you guys go over there and FanDuel.com and use the code Patriots. All right. With that, the lines are now open, and we're going to start with area code 941. You are now on the air.
How y'all doing? This it's Nick Sesento from Tampa.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? I see opening night, and we already have the Laker fan running the show, huh?
Apparently
that's
so,
how it goes,
yeah.
Man.
How's it going, Calvin? Haven't spoken to you in a while. I know it's been a while since I've been calling in, but it's good to have you back on the air. Hear you back on the air. It's like the old days. But
you gonna be back on here or what? You gonna call in?
I'll be calling in as much as I possibly can. I'm back on the roll. I enjoyed it in the past, so enjoy it in the future. but great win tonight.
I'm
I really
sure
enjoy. I know it was the 76ers. We demolished them pretty much in the preseason, and then pretty much handled them. You know, first game opening night. You know, nice win for the fans. You know, coming back into the Garden. So I mean, not much to complain about. I, as much as I hate to agree with Calvin, I think his assessment of Tyler Zeller is just completely spot on. I think he gets the nod, maybe show that he can play a little bit. I just don't see Tyler Zeller being on the team after this season. I think he along with Sully didn't extend their contracts. Their deadline or something for extending their contracts passed by, and Zeller was one of them that didn't get an extension. I think he's going to be either restricted, unrestricted free agent, something like that. I just don't think there's a place for him on the roster, especially if you look at the minutes tonight. Olynyk didn't even play. And when you have, you know, guys like Olynyk who you probably want to keep trying to develop if you have the belief that there is more to develop in Olynyk, and then you have other players like Lee and Amir and Mickey who absolutely does need, you know, development. I was shocked in the couple of minutes, you know, Mickey had. He had, you know, a couple of free throws, a couple of rebounds and an assist. I mean, that's making the most of your 2 minutes of 2 minutes of garbage time. But, you know, where do the minutes for Tyler Zeller come from? And, I mean, he's definitely, you know, good enough in the pick-and-roll game. But I just don't know, you know, I don't think he's as dynamic enough as a player, certainly to warrant the starting position. I just don't see that at all. And defensively with he and Lee in the front court, as I think it was Calvin that said it, you know, against Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, I mean, just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. They just, you know, bullied. There's just no space for them, you know, for the two of them to start. I just don't know where Tyler Zeller gets his minutes. I think the front court, the big man duo of Amir Johnson, who tonight played, I think, as advertised, pretty much is what everybody expected. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. There was a pregame show a couple of weeks ago, and one of the hosts mentioned they didn't expect much defensively out of Amir Johnson, but I always thought that was, you know, he was a little bit more rugged. I don't think we can expect 2 blocks every single night, but I always thought that he was a little bit more sturdy, you know, of a paint defender than what we've had in the past. Sully, incredible, playing like he really wants those minutes. I mean, we all talk about his weight, and we saw him come on, you know, in the preseason, and, you know, there's, you know, fat Sully, but, you know, he really wants to play, and he really wants to get his minutes. 21 minutes, 6 from 8 from the field, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. I mean, what more can we ask for from Sully in that department? Isaiah Thomas, I think that's obvious. We saw what he did. For me, a lot, you know, on the negative side, I just don't know what we're going to do with Avery Bradley. I don't think that he, I mean, in my opinion, the last time I was on the air when I was calling frequently, it was like Avery Bradley was the untradeable. It was after the 2012, you know, miracle season. We made it to the Eastern Conference Finals that short season, and Avery Bradley was the stopper, and he was almost untradeable. And I look at his, you know, stats now, most minutes of anybody on the court, 33 minutes, 4 points, 1 rebound, you know, 2 assists. Yeah, the 2 steals are nice, but, you know, 2 for 6 from the field, that's not, you know, cutting it. I mean, didn't draw a single foul, which I don't think he's very good at anyway. And then to offset those 2 steals, he had 2 turnovers and a couple of personal fouls. I think if you want to develop players like Terry Rozier, who I think in the end just has more, he's a bit longer than Avery Bradley. I think he probably has more natural talent. It obviously has more natural talent, I think, finishing at the hoop. It's Avery Bradley, aside from those backdoor cuts, really when he's, you know, in the hoop and he's taking it straight to the basket, he just doesn't really finish all that well. I think if you want to develop someone like Terry Rozier, someone like Marcus Smart, they have very overlapping, you know, talent, you know, skill sets with Avery Bradley. And I did like what I saw from Avery Bradley in the preseason with his improved shooting, what appeared to be his improved shooting. But if you don't see it in games, especially against a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, it doesn't really have a backcourt, you know, to speak of. And he's scoring 4 points for us in 33 minutes. I just don't see it. And one last final thing, Evan Turner is one of my favorite guys, I think, because he does everything, you know, a little bit of everything, so which I think is underappreciated in his 22 minutes, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. But again, 3 turnovers, if he's going to be that point forward, that ball handler, 3 turnovers in those 22 minutes you have, you just can't do that, you know. Just not something that he's going to do if he wants to stay in the rotation, especially with guys like Marcus Smart, who are now developing into actual NBA, you know, ball handlers. Marcus Smart, I think, looks primed to take a big step, and I think that's going to be the thing. Oh, and one last thing, 26 for 27 free throws. When can we say that for the Boston Celtics? That's the key right there, 26 for 27 free throws.
Yeah, I was going to get to that later in the show. That's a great point, fantastic free throws. Thanks so much, Nick, for the call. Really good thoughts. We're definitely going to cover all the stuff that you talked about tonight, so I really appreciate your priming us for the rest of the show. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. He was a little bit all over the place. Any place you want to start with that?
Well, I do want to, I don't know, you know, the Bradley thing, because Avery Bradley's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite players, and he always has been, and I want him to do so well, and I said this in the preseason show I did with Sean. I said that when I want people to say the Boston Celtics, I want them to think led by Avery Bradley, and if he's scoring 4 points against the Philadelphia 76ers, that's just not going to be the case. People aren't going to think that, and I don't know what he needs. He just needs to, like, be more consistent.
I mean, I was going to take a little bit of issue on the Avery Bradley thing. Look, I'm not typically the Avery Bradley defender because I tend to feel like Celtics, exactly what you sort of said about Avery Bradley is sort of the feel that I've gotten for years. You know, this is like the 5th year that I've been doing these post-game shows, and it's always like, you know, how good can Avery Bradley be? What's Avery Bradley's ceiling? I've sort of had to hear that for years, and I've never believed that he could be the type of player to turn into a star. I still don't, but, you know, he's on a reasonable contract, and I think that he provides something that you don't necessarily have enough of on this team, which is shooting. You know, like you want Avery Bradley as a defender, I don't think is quite as good as he was his first couple of years. But he's still a good defender, mm-hmm. and more importantly, like when he's worked his way into being a pretty good perimeter shooter, and you need him to space the floor. You have a lot of floor spacers on the team who take a lot of perimeter shots. But most of the guys aren't actually that good at hitting shots, and I feel like Avery Bradley, when he's on, is one of your better shooters, and you probably do need him out there on the floor for that reason. Now, he didn't take a lot of shots tonight, but he also didn't have a bad game. He didn't, you know, he really just didn't see the ball that much. It wasn't a game where you blew the 76ers out. I don't think that, you know, he has to be the guy who scores you 25 points every game. Isaiah Thomas was that guy. So if Isaiah Thomas has the ball in his hands most of the time with Bradley out on the floor, which, I thought he did, then, Avery Bradley's going to score mostly either coming off screens, plays that are set for Avery Bradley, which maybe you want to turn this around and be like Brad Stevens. Why didn't, you know, I don't think I remember Avery Bradley coming off one screen all night. Do you? Maybe they're going away from that, but I think, you know, that's his game, is sort of the off-ball, running around screens, catching the ball and shooting. It's like, that's what he's ideal at, and he really didn't get that opportunity tonight.
Yeah, he was just really quiet. He just was kind of invisible out there on offense. I mean, I'd prefer him to shoot 2 for 6 rather than 3 for 17. I'd rather him take less shots,
right,
if he's going to miss a bunch, because he's had a few games like that too. But I want him to be more involved with the offense. Like you said, you're playing the Sixers, you weren't really in danger of losing the game, so in that sense, it's okay. But if he does stuff like this in games that are close or games that we need him, then it's starting to be a concern. So I'm glad you're kind of tempering the concern about Bradley, but I do want him to step it up when needed. So we're going to definitely look for that.
Even being that, I thought he was really effective on the trap. He had both of his steals were backside steals. He seemed to get to Okafor a lot. He had Smart. I actually had a little bit more of an issue with Smart in this game. Not in this game, period, but just this is my first opportunity to see the Celtics. I don't know, maybe you've seen them in preseason, but I had heard that Smart was ball handling more and that he was, you know, going to take on more of a traditional point guard role this season. And in that first game, I really didn't see much of that at all. I feel like every time he sort of just dribbles into no man's land and then does a pass, like I'd like to see him take it all the way to the rim more often than he does. Now, he shot he hit a couple of threes, and, you know, he has been pretty good at that throughout his career. But I guess I was just hoping his ball handling would be more improved than what he showed in this first game.
Yeah, I did watch a couple of the preseason games, and he did seem better at it, and he also seemed to drive to the basket more in the preseason. And as you said, he hit a couple threes tonight. He was 3 for 6 from downtown, 3 for 8 for the game. It means he only took 2 twos and missed them both. So the driving just kind of went right out the window when the season started here. So hopefully that wasn't like a little preseason teaser that he's going to just forget about the rest of the season. I mean, obviously it's one game. You can't go totally off that, but it is a little concerning that he took 8 shots and 6 of them were threes. Fortunately, most of them went in, so that's good. But you want to see him drive the basket more and be more of a force, at least in my opinion. So we'll look for that for in the future games. So yeah, one more caller here as we speak, and I'm sure we'll get more as the show goes on, but don't want to keep them waiting any longer. So we'll open up the FanDuel call lines once more and bring on area code 207. You are live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Back.
Hey, great win tonight. Rick got off to a tough start, and really Isaiah Thomas picked it up from the first quarter on. Marcus Smart looked good. Jared Solter coming off the bench, still not in the most ideal shape in the world, but provided some great minutes. Amir Johnson off the bench as well. And as far as the Avery Bradley stuff goes, he is what he is. He's a good defender, and he'll be very inconsistent on offense and provide some offense some night and some off and just look completely like a ghost in other nights. That's what he is. But I don't think that Terry Rozier is going to be any better. And that's really the selfish problem is that they have three guys that really aren't shooters that are playing the point guard and shooting guard spot. So that could be a problem. And besides Isaiah Thomas, Rozier, Smart, and Bradley. But
do you agree with Nick Sesento's call earlier, where he was talking about like maybe Rozier should start eating away at Bradley's minutes because you know what you get with Bradley? Or are you sort of more along my way of thinking, which is that you need Bradley shooting, and Rozier is certainly not a shooter at this point in his career? What do you think?
I'm definitely with your line of thinking. Avery Bradley has proven to be a good player in this league. You're right; he's not going to be a star. But can he provide a lot more than Terry Rozier, who at the time when the Celtics picked him was considered a major reach in last year's draft? I don't think that he's ready. I'm surprised that he's not in Portland right now. So I definitely agree with you on that. And as far as Tyler Zeller goes, with Gio Okafor, it's a thing where Gio Okafor, there was nobody last year that could handle him one-on-one, and for some reason Brett Stevens left Tyler Zeller out on an island with him, and Tyler Zeller is not known to be a great defender. He does some things very well. He runs the floor. He does some things very, very well on the offensive end, but he's just a role player. He's a good player. He's a guy you would want coming off the bench. I definitely like him on this team for some of the things that he can do. But he's not going to match up with an opposing center as good offensively as Gio Okafor and shut him down. He's going to get bullied every time. But
Manda, you're a Duke guy. Can we hit Gio real quick?
Yes.
Yeah. So my impressions of him, you know, obviously everything everybody says about him is true. He has the touch. He has the polish. All his offensive moves look really smooth. My one concern about him, and I feel like that it really, you know, took place in the second half, is that he seems to be really slow about passing out of the double team and you know, finding the open man. It seems like his decision-making in that situation is a little slow. What did you think about him in that first game?
Well, it was some of the same things that you saw at Duke last year. He really struggled at times with double teams. He would either throw the ball away, which you saw tonight, and he got a lot of traveling calls through double teams. Teams played him a lot better in the NCAA tournament. As you pointed out on Careless Whispers during that time, but he's got to get better at that in eight turnovers. But you can see the natural ability from that. I expect him to get better. But I'm not going to keep you guys. But just an interesting question. I was talking to one of my buddies the other day about in regards to the Celtics team. And it is, how good is this Celtics team in the Eastern Conference? How good are they? Obviously, they aren't a championship level team. They aren't going to beat Cleveland. But can we put the expectations on them? Could they be a 4 or 5 seed? Is that too high for them right now? And can they win a round in the postseason? Now, I understand that the rules are different with the playoff formatting, but you look at this team, they are going to be improved from last year where they won 40 games and got in as the 7th seed. Could they make a run up? Obviously, you look at Chicago, Miami, if they're healthy, Cleveland, Washington, you could throw in that mix. Atlanta without Damari. So you have some teams. Milwaukee, I don't know how you guys feel about Milwaukee once Jabari Parker gets healthy. But after those three teams in the East of Cleveland, Chicago, and Miami, you have an awful lot of gray area there of where a team could come out of nowhere and take that four spot, because really there's nothing great beyond that. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. I think that the Celtics team can win around 45 games, but like I said, it's going to be awfully interesting off the top. So I'd like your opinion about that. And let's go Celtics and good first win, guys.
Thanks for the call, Mad Dog. A lot of good stuff again. We appreciate you coming back for another season of CLNS Radio postgame shows. We'll chat about all that stuff. Have a good one.
Go ahead, Jeff. All right. You can take that question. Yeah.
Do you mind if we end the show with that, since it'd be kind of like closing, like a season preview to finish the show?
Oh yeah, we can do that. Are you trying to end the show now? Is that what you're saying? Or are you just saying
we'll put them on hold with that question and we'll answer it at the end.
You're the boss, man. I just follow your lead.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I had season preview at the end, so I definitely want to get into that later on after we've exhausted this show. So we will get to that, Mad Dog, and we'll be sure to get you all opinions. So stick around with us, and well, then again, if you don't stick around, the show's recorded, so you can listen to it afterwards and hear it anyway. So no worries there. I want to get to my thoughts on Julius Okafor in just a minute, but I want to remind everyone that Jared Weiss will be calling in, our locker room reporter, back for another year, and he'll be calling in at some point in the near future. So I want to remind everyone to check out the Garden Report, which is Jared's show. It's on the CLNS YouTube page, www.youtube.com/CLNSradio. It's the best of audio and visual, high-definition locker rooms, full-length locker room interviews, and HD post-game show shot on the parquet floor at the TD Garden, which is the Garden Report. Check it out after every home game. Subscribe to the channel. It's had a wild amount of success, and Jared will be coming on to talk to us in a little bit. I haven't heard from him yet, but I know we'll be talking to him. And that will be brought to you by Grandstand app, which we'll tell you about more when we bring Jared on. It's a new app that we're using, and it's pretty fantastic. So, and Jared will be putting it into the Garden Report with the play of the game. So that'll be fun. So look forward to Jared Weiss and Grandstand and the Garden Report in a little bit. So everyone's talked about Julius Okafor here, so I want to join in and talk about Julius Okafor as well. 26 points in his first game of his NBA career is pretty impressive. He's only 19 years old. He just played 1 year at college. He won a national title with Duke. He's a really good player. I agree what you said about he was a little slow out of the double teams, but for his first game to score that many points and to be as in control of the game as he was, and he looked better than Nerlens Noel to me. Noel's been in the league for a couple of years. So to just see Okafor be that good that soon, I did not expect him to be that good in the NBA that soon. And it could be, you know, it could be a little false first game thing and he could come back down to earth for a couple of games. You never know. But to score 26 points in your first game is a lot, and that's very impressive for a rookie.
Yeah, you know what it is. I'm just hoping Julius Okafor is not good. You know, that's what it just comes down to. I'm going to have to kill myself if he's good.
Yeah,
I was the one who came on the CLNS draft show, and I was overjoyed when we didn't draft Okafor. But not because I thought he – but to clarify, it's not because I thought he was going to be a bust, because I didn't. I knew – you know what I mean? I knew that he would have this polish, and – you know, I sort of projected him as the next Al Jefferson. I just thought that we already had Julius Randle, who, you know, plays the same sort of bullying offensive interior game, and I didn't like the two of them together because neither of them are good defenders. That's all it came down to for me. It just made more sense to take the point guard. But, you know, so far so good with Shaquille and not liking what I'm seeing out of D'Angelo, so I'm already at the state of, I don't want to say emergency, but I'm at a state of alarm.
We'll give it a couple of weeks. We'll see how they continue to do. But no question he's a good player. I mean, you know, obviously you need to put a full half season, full season sample size to really see who should have been picked with what pick. And that stuff's all a crapshoot anyway. I mean, you never really know because you put guys on different teams, the different picks, and they could play completely different. So, I mean, you really never know. So we'll judge later on, but fantastic first game for Okafor. Okay, so I mentioned that I wanted to cover this earlier, so I want to cover it now, and that is the bench versus the starters. And the bench tonight, well, first of all, it was pretty remarkable. After three quarters, the Celtics bench had outscored Philly's bench 50-10, and the Celtics bench had outscored the Celtics starters 50-29, which is significantly more for after three quarters. And it turns out, in total of the final score, the bench scored, I had it here, they scored 67 points and the starters scored 45. So as it was tonight, the starters were Jay Crowder, David Lee, Tyler Zeller, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart. As we talked about, Bradley only had 4 points. Zeller only played 10 minutes, so he only scored 6. And David Lee only had 8. And, of course, you have Isaiah Thomas off the bench with 27. Amir Johnson had 15. Jared Sullinger had 12. So that's why the bench scored so many more points. So then you could think, oh, well, we should put Isaiah Thomas, Jared Sullinger, and Amir Johnson in the starting lineup and you get a lot more starters points. But in my opinion, it doesn't really matter because, first of all, it matters more who finishes the game, not who starts. And that's who they think are the most important and effective players when you're playing at the end of the game, especially if it's close. So I don't really think it matters necessarily who starts. Yeah, it sets the tone for the game. But if somebody doesn't do well, you just take them out and bring somebody else in like they did tonight with Zeller and Sullinger. So in all, I really don't think it matters. People might be surprised, like, oh, my God, the bench outscored the starters by 22 points. Do you think it matters?
I don't think it matters who starts. It does matter who finishes. But to me, like, the underrated element is not who starts or who finishes. It's who plays with who. You know, that's what it comes down to for me. It's like who's getting minutes with who, what are your more effective lineups, what guys complement each other better, what guys do I not want to see on the floor with each other. Amir Johnson, for example, I think Nick Center said that he had a reputation for not being a good post defender. I don't have that opinion, and I don't think that that's the opinion that people have of Amir Johnson either. I think he's known for his post defense. I think that's why the Celtics signed him, because they were terrible at interior defense last year. And while he's not a shot blocker, his ability to just be a fire hydrant, you know, push guys around is something that they sorely needed. In this first game, I was actually very surprised and impressed by the chemistry he had with Isaiah. You know, he was doing a lot of those high pick and rolls. He sort of has the Garnett moving screen down. You know, I don't even say that as an insult because he didn't get called for it. I say that as a compliment. He laid a lot of good, solid picks. He's a solid guy. And he immediately cut to the basket, and he was an outlet for Isaiah on two separate layups. I really liked their chemistry in that first game. You know, to me, it depends who plays with who. But a guy like Amir, the point I'm making about Amir is, like, he should be playing with a guy who – can stretch the floor a little bit. He should be playing with a David Lee or an Olenek more than he should be playing with, Sullinger. I think that, you know, the Celtics have a deep lineup and they have a lot of interchangeable parts, so they have the advantage of trying to figure out, you know, which lineups play better than others. We talked about Rozier earlier. Like, obviously, you know, you don't need Rozier, Smart, and Bradley all playing at the same time. You rotate effectively. And I think that's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely about who plays with you, who. And do you figure that out over the season? Obviously, you're not going to figure that out in the first 48 minutes of the year in a couple preseason games. So it definitely takes some time. But, yeah, I do agree. It's definitely not who plays at what time necessarily, but who plays with who at what time. So I'm interested to see what Brad does with that. But then following up on that, now – as we know, and have talked about a lot of last year, and even more now, the Celtics have a lot of good players. You know, they have a great, great bunch of players to bring in after the five starters come in, as we said. So what do they do? Are you okay with a lot of guys playing around 20 minutes? David Lee played 22 minutes tonight. Evan Turner played 22 minutes. Jared Sullinger played 21. Amir Johnson played 20. So you got a lot of guys around the same time. No one playing a bunch of minutes, so their numbers aren't going to be out of this world. You're not going to be having someone besides Thomas frequently scoring you know, 25 or more points because there's just not enough minutes to go around for everyone to do that. So in terms of the forward, mostly the forwards, you know, a little bit of the guards, but they're a little more set. In terms of the forwards, are you okay with everyone playing 20 minutes? Or are you? Oh, and this isn't even counting Kelly Olynyk, who was suspended tonight for the Kevin Love arm socket thing last year in the playoffs. So once you add him into the mix, it'll make it even more confusing. So are you okay with the 20 minutes for everyone, or do you want somebody to play less and other guys to play more?
Well, I think inevitably you probably have one big man too many when Olynyk plays. Do I think that you can, you know, I haven't done the math on that, but do I think that like Lee and Zeller Lee, Zeller, Olynyk, Jared Sullinger and Amir Johnson can all, what is that? That's 100 minutes right off the top, right? So yep. You're probably fading Jarebko out of the rotation, I'd imagine, immediately. I just anticipate that happening with Olynyk. He's sort of your stretch-the-floor guy. I feel like Olynyk becomes that guy, and Jarebko will probably see his minutes decline. Yeah, outside of that, I think we'll see a lot of what we talked about with Tyler Zeller, him getting that starting minutes, and then he goes ghost for the rest of the game. That's probably what we're looking forward to for the season, you know? Yeah, and then the rest of the guys sort of playing around that 20 minutes that you discussed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree that Jarebko is going to get kind of faded out just because there's not enough minutes to go around. But actually, we have Jared Weiss here already. So I just want to say this is the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report on the new sports app Grandstand. You can share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. So you can download Grandstand on the App Store or at grandstand.me, grandstand.me, I guess that would be. And Jared is here now to talk about this game. So, Jared, you were live. How was the atmosphere tonight? And obviously the Celtics gave the fans an excellent 112-95 win.
It was pretty good. I can't believe I'm walking into all this Jonas Rebko negativity so quickly. One game into the season, that's pretty harsh.
No, I don't know if you heard the start of the comment, but it had nothing to do with reflections. It had nothing to do with his gameplay. I just think with Olynyk, you know, coming back, I just don't think there's minutes-wise room for all of those guys to continue to play, and somebody's going to have to get squeezed out of the rotation. And my assumption would be that it's probably Jarebko. What do you think?
No, you're definitely right. I mean, it would be down to Sullinger and Jarebko most likely, and based on the way Sullinger played tonight, it's not going to be him. So, I mean, Zeller had a rough night, but it's Steven said after the game that that's going to happen. Some nights, some guys are just not going to be their night. Zeller, it really wasn't his night. And part of the problem is if you're a front court player on this team and it's not your night, you're going to be replaced that game very quickly because they have so many good players. And we saw Amir Johnson came in for him, and Amir had a phenomenal game. He had 15 points and 7 rebounds in 20 minutes. I wouldn't say he stopped Jahlil Okafor, but he certainly did a better job on Okafor than Zeller did. But Okafor was just incredible tonight. Nobody could stop him.
Well, you know, Tyler Zeller not known for his upper body strength, whereas Amir Johnson is essentially a rock in there. He had a lot of help. I mean, they really started out with a lot of man defense early in that game. They put Zeller out in an island on Okafor, I thought, a little bit, whereas, you know, they were doing a lot more trapping after that. Did you see that, or what do you think?
Yeah, Amir was involved with some trapping where they were trying to clamp down on him high and low when Okafor would get the ball on the block. And then they double-teamed, and then they did some zone also to try to stunt some pick-and-rolls and to get rid of, like, Okafor's kind of, like, on. I think they just wanted to keep Okafor off the block, force him to be a roll guy, and that works a lot better. But we saw there were especially transition plays where Okafor, like, put up little floaters like he was Tony Parker. His offensive skill set is just unreal. I mean, you really saw tonight the epitome of all of this, like just the unreal skill set he has for a big man coming to the NBA. It's one of the rarest skill sets we've seen coming to the NBA in my lifetime. But then also you get the 8 turnovers, and you know he's obviously a very, very much a work in progress. But Amir Johnson, I think, did as well as you're going to do against a guy that's a really skilled big man that's on fire. And Okafor was just on fire tonight.
So, Jared, I want to get your thoughts, because we were just talking about right before you came on about the minutes distribution and all the guys who play. And now that we've seen one game, and obviously it's without Kelly Olynyk because he was suspended, so all these guys playing 20, 21, 22 minutes, would you rather see someone play less and get more to other guys, or do you think it works to have everyone play somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes?
No, this was perfect. I mean, you had the three main guys, or the four main guys, I guess you should say, with Thomas, Smart, Bradley, and Crowder all playing just over 30. Thomas was 29, but they kind of pulled him out because the lead was kind of getting was growing, and they didn't really need him out there. But I think if it's a tight game, Thomas is finishing that one out. But I mean, they got they're an NBA team with their core four guys playing 32 minutes. That's incredible. That's Spursian right there. You know, usually an average NBA team will have like two guys playing in the high 30s, two guys in the mid 30s, and then a bunch of guys in like the mid 20s. But they're spread out so evenly. Their rotations are really they're really smooth and consistent. But they can mix and match for different lineups. I mean, tonight was an interesting one where you had a front court of Okafor, Noel, and Thompson. It's a ton of length to contend with there. And then Sampson is gigantic as a shooting guard, and Isaiah Cannon's a big point guard. So they wanted length tonight, so they have Crowder, who provides a lot of length at the three, a lot of power at the three, getting a lot of three minutes there. And, I mean, the Celtics fit into any situation, and that's what makes them so exciting. So the even distribution's great. The question is basically going to be when they go up against teams where they don't dictate the matchup, where they're getting the matchup dictated towards them, then how do they shore up their lineup to give guys more minutes? Who gets left out? I mean, luckily for them, they have pretty much every type of player on the roster except for a great shot-blocking seven-footer, but, I mean, how many of those guys are in the league? It'll be interesting to see, like, for instance, on Friday when they play Toronto, a team that's really physically dominant and has a ton of skill. They can't shoot the ball that well, though. That'll be the crux there. But that's a team where the Celtics are going to have to play more to Toronto's matchup rather than Toronto playing to the Celtics matchups.
Chad, you seem to somewhat be implying that Crowder was a matchup starter. Do you expect him to continue starting then?
No.
That's not what I'm saying.
So I've been advocating for Crowder to start for the past 6 months now, I think, and I was really happy to see it happening. And it's no knock on Evan Turner. It's just that Crowder is just like kind of the perfect small forward for this team. And Turner, I do really like Turner as in his role as like the three coming up the bench alongside Avery Bradley, because it gives another ball handler. I'm sorry, not Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, because it gives them another ball handler that they can be comfortable with bringing the ball up and running some offensive pick and roll. But he can play the two when they want him to, when Bradley's either hurt or if they want to give more defense in the second unit and have Bradley play with Isaiah, Turner can fit in there. But Crowder is probably the most effective guy on this team on a consistent basis. He's a guy that just does his job so well, so consistently. I mean, tonight he only hit four field goals and ended up with 14 points. It's just like, that's phenomenal efficiency.
Yeah, it definitely
Jared,
is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jess.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to have Jared let us know what's up on the Garden Report tonight and let him go. Do you want to cover one more topic?
Calvin, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, because Evan Turner sort of, you know, was not one of the first guys off the bench, he sort of seemed to have a reduced role tonight. I'm wondering if you're concerned about the starting lineup and sort of the ball handling in that respect. Because, Isaiah is a ball-dominant guard when he's out there on the floor. It would seem to me that a secondary ball handler is less important than maybe with the starters because, you know, Smart and Bradley – they seem to be a little bit more reluctant offense initiators, you know, dribbler guys than a guy like Turner or Isaiah Thomas.
And that was the main concern. I think that's where the David Lee position comes in, that they basically couldn't start. I mean, Smart's made huge strides so far, and I'll have to go back to the tape to really tell you how I felt about his performance tonight handling the ball because I didn't focus on it too much. But in the preseason, especially at the end there, Smart was looking like a really legitimate point guard. He was standing up. His vision was open. He was hitting cutters, stuff like that. We saw a little bit of that tonight. He had one really good one to Amir Johnson late in the game. He had a great little kind of touch pass alley-oop to him that was really nice. But obviously, it's not on the same level as Isaiah. And, of course, Isaiah can carve his way through the defense. He can get right under the rim and then make a pass. So that's something that Smart isn't able to do yet. But basically, Lee offsets that issue. Lee had 5 assists tonight, which was, I think, second in the game, tied with Marcus. But Lee allows them to basically have someone out by the perimeter who, even though he's not a ball handler by the perimeter, they're like running picks, they're posting up high, stuff like that, and they can still get cutters underneath. And even though it's a different strategy, you still in the end are getting cutters underneath. You're kind of splitting the defense into 3 different zones where they have to cover the baseline, they have to cover the mid-range and the perimeter. So whether or not you have a point guard up top or a passing big man up top, as long as you have someone that could feed a cutter that's like cutting weak side or cutting baseline, you kind of have the same effect there. So as long as Lee isn't a liability on defense, his defense wasn't that good tonight. Noel had some really nice plays on him. And frankly, he wasn't able to hit his shots too well tonight. But he still looked good, and you know, 22 minutes for him, that was solid. But it's really going to mostly – that starting lineup as it is with Crowder there is going to depend on how well Lee can run as a kind of a point forward out of the high post.
All right. Well, good analysis as always from one Jared West.
Thanks, man.
Jared, what do you got coming up on the Gardner Report?
Yeah, so Gardner Report, I'm going to regurgitate most of what I just said. We're going to focus on Isaiah Thomas. We'll have our grandstand play of the game, so we'll have some footage for you in the show. So definitely check that out. I'm sure you've heard plenty about grandstand if you're a listener by now, but I'm really excited about this app, and I've been using it incessantly, so that's going to be really cool. And then taking a look at Amir Johnson and Tyler Zeller, how that went tonight. That was a pretty fascinating one. And then lastly, of course, Jared Sullinger did not look like the Jared Sullinger we were seeing earlier in the preseason. He's starting to really get it together now. So that is going to continue to be the most interesting storyline on this team for the next couple of months.
All right, Jared. Sounds good. We'll make sure to watch the Garden Report tomorrow. I know I will be. So have fun with that. Have a good night, and go Celtics.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right,
thanks,
good night. All righty.
So,
no, you can go ahead.
No, what I wanted to ask you about, you sort of hit on Sullinger at the end, and I was curious about a topic that I meant to get to, but I haven't. Neither Sullinger nor Tyler Zeller ended up getting their contract extension. Nick Cicento talked about that earlier. I think part of that has to do, you know, with the escalating cap, and it's negotiations are difficult without knowing what that number is going to be. But, how good would you feel about, you know, just preliminary thought-wise, like how good do you feel about, you know, re-signing those guys when their contract's up at the end of the season? And are you disappointed that they weren't able to come to terms before the start of this season?
Well, I definitely like to keep them both. I mean, they both got their places on the team. And you know, as we talked about, Zeller keeps starting even though he seems to get benched the rest of the game for some reason. But he's definitely valuable. And I like what you said earlier about his pace, and he gets up the court floor quickly. You know, they had a fast break where he just beat everyone down the court and scored two of his 6 points in his 10 minutes. So I like what he brings to the table, and I like his energy. And then with Sullinger, I mean, I've always been a huge Sullinger fan, and I know this is a make or break year, or make or break beginning of the year, because he's, you know, he's got to prove it now, and he's on that he felt good out there on a quote from a post game. And he did look really good tonight. I mean, only 21 minutes, but as we talked about, 12.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 of 8 from the field. He looked really good. And I say the more minutes he gets, the better he plays, because he gets more of the flow of the game. He's an excellent rebounder. He's got good touch, and he's been shooting really well the last couple of games, like the last 2 preseason games and tonight. So I think he's a valuable player, and I think it would be a mistake to get rid of him so soon. And I think we need to give him a chance to see if he can stay in shape and do well. But I think maybe he doesn't look different body-wise specifically, but play-wise, I think he looked a lot better tonight.
I think he looks a little bit thinner body-wise. I don't know. I heard that he came in, you know, losing a ton of weight. I don't see that difference. I don't, you know, like, well, I don't see the Kendrick Perkins off-season change of a couple of years ago where he showed up in Oklahoma City looking like a different human being.
Yeah,
but he certainly looks a little... I mean, maybe I'm being fooled by the vertical stripe haircut. It's maybe it looks slimming to me, but he does look a little skinnier. I don't know, not a lot skinnier, but maybe he's put in a little bit of work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he probably lost like 20, 25, maybe 30 pounds, and he doesn't look that different. And it's good because, I mean, he's always had a pretty big rear end, and he uses his rear end very well in games to box guys out and kind of knock them around. So I like that he has that, and that didn't seem to go away unless his pants are just really baggy. So he didn't seem to lose much off the back, but I think, yeah, I think to the core he lost some weight, and it just looked like his conditioning's better more than losing weight, and I think that was the problem, is he couldn't get down the court fast enough or for long enough. So, I mean, I don't really care what his weight is, as long as he can get up and down the court and not get tired, which it seems like that's what he's doing better with. So I'm encouraged by that, whether he lost a ton of weight or not.
Yeah, I would agree. That was an encouraging first game. Yeah, he did play effective defense on Okafor, although I think that Okafor is actually the kind of guy that Jared Sullinger does a good job of defending anyway. So I don't know
like
if that's
a slower kind of guy.
Well, a slower guy, more of a power player. You know, Jared Sullinger is one of those guys who's hard to move, much like I was saying about Amir Johnson, except Amir Johnson has more lateral quickness than Jared Sullinger. But Jared Sullinger is good at, you know, sort of getting in guys' ways. But he struggles with the more athletic types that can get by him. We'll see how he reacts when that matchup is, you know, more tilted in that direction.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Looking to see him get more minutes and see how he plays in the future. Our friends over at TickIQ, that's T-I-Q-I-Q, that's a mouthful, just released a fantastic rewards-based mobile ticket buying app. These guys already have the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports. And now with their mobile app, you can save up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. You can set price alerts to be notified when tickets within your price range become available, as well as see all the top deals for games at the Garden, Gillette, and on the road. They aggregate all ticket sales on one platform, have the most competitive prices out there. Head to the Apple App Store to download the TickIQ app and start saving today. That is T-I-Q-I-Q. Use the promo code BOSTON for 10% off your first purchase. Now, I know I've checked out this app, and it's pretty cool. It's very easy to use. It's helpful, and, you know, people in Boston are always – I know you're not in the Boston area, but people in Boston are always scouring the tickets, you know, constantly. So this is a good app for people who are looking for cheap tickets and tickets constantly, really.
I can relate to not having trouble finding tickets to things. So certainly if there's – yeah. And not every ticket app is created equal, too. Keep that in mind, people.
So definitely make sure you check out the TickIQ app if you have not so far, and, you know, get some money off. So it's a good thing. You can't go wrong with it. All right.
I want to talk about update for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a quick update. 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first quarter. Kobe already has 7 shots in this Laker game.
Shocker.
The Lakers. Yeah.
So
I'm already annoyed with the Lakers. Yeah. Anyway, go on. Didn't mean to derail you there.
Thanks for the Lakers update. We got to have our Lakers update from you. So before we go into, you know, we'll probably wrap up in about 10 or 15 minutes here, and I want to look ahead. But just from this game, I wanted your initial reactions, because I know you didn't watch a whole lot of preseason, and, you know, people have trouble getting into the season before the actual season starts. But being their first official games with the Red Sox, whoa. Doing Red Sox beat shows for the Celtics. How did you like how David Lee and Amir Johnson both look? Because they're obviously the big offseason signings.
Right, David Lee. I liked his shot selection. I mean, he seemed to try to get shots up a little quick, and maybe that had to do with the fact that he was going up against Noel. I thought he short armed a couple of his shots, but like Jared hinted at earlier, I liked his ability to distribute the basketball. I felt like that was effective. And as far as Amir Johnson, yeah, I think Amir Johnson, you get what you pay for. You know, I think that he was brought into Boston to defend the post, and I think that's what he did today. I think that Celtics fans are really going to like Amir Johnson, probably even more than they'll like David Lee ultimately. Because as exciting as David Lee can be with the ball and his ball handling, like Jared said, and, you know, I think maybe his rebounding has slipped a little bit, but his scoring, I think that his defense on the other end is sort of gonna balance that out somewhat. Whereas as Amir Johnson, he's never going to be, you know, Shaq or a dominant offensive player, but he'll be an efficient offensive player, and he'll be a good defensive player.
Yeah, I know these guys are people, the guys that people are looking for to really propel this team forward into greater things from last year, which is actually the perfect segue into what I want to talk about, which is a season preview, which we were so prepped well by Mad Dog earlier in the show. We appreciate his call and Nick's call and Jared's call as well. So love getting all these callers. It's fantastic. You can still call in. There's still a couple minutes left, still some time. You can call in at 347-215-7771. This is CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show, game one of 82. We'll be here for all of them, not us personally, but CLNS Radio post-game show hosts will be here for every game. And I'm sure we'll both be doing numerous shows, so make sure to keep tuning in. So let's go to the season preview. And I know Mad Dog said that a lot of people are thinking somewhere between, you know, 42, 45 wins, 47 maybe. I know some people are even picking 50. So there's a lot of questions somewhere between 40 and 50. Some people aren't as sold as them. Some people are like, send them to the playoffs, number three seed. I know Mad Dog said that number four seed would kind of be up for grabs, which I agree with. So I want to start with you. What do you think is a realistic win total for this team? What position can they get in the playoffs if they make the playoffs? And how can they do in the playoffs if they do?
This is a hard question for me just because the Celtics are so built, you know, based on a combination of their personnel and you know, their picks to make a trade at midseason, especially because they'll be right there in that playoff hunt and there'll be no reason to. I think Danny Ainge has probably learned this lesson about trying to tank with his team. I think he tried to make a couple of, you know, when he moved Green and Rondo. I think some of his moves last year were just sort of designed with the idea of getting worse, and it backfired, and they got better. And I don't think that he'll, you know, I think he'll make an attempt to try to get better. So with that in mind, you know, if they make the right trade, maybe they can get to 50. I'm skeptical, and it's a credit to Brad Stevens. I'm just skeptical with this roster, even in the Eastern Conference, that they could get to 50 wins. But I think that a five seed is not unreasonable.
Okay, fair enough. So not quite 50 wins, but a five seed. I'm sure a lot of fans would take that. I'll give my picks in just a minute, but our FanDuel call lines are back up and running, and we have a good friend over who works at Comcast Sportsnet with me, Mike Molyneux, and he was that you're watching really intently. That's the word I was trying to say. So Mike is here. He's on the line. Mike, welcome. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing tonight?
We covered about everything we could possibly cover, and we were just getting to our season preview of, as you heard, of wins and record and playoff appearance, and I haven't given mine yet, but I just want your thoughts on the game tonight, Mike, and what you think for those predictions.
Well, granted, we were playing the lowly Philadelphia 76ers. How the Celtics played didn't shock me at all. Great team basketball. Everybody was involved. One thing that really stood out, well, kind of stood out, but not very surprising, was the fact that our reserves came in and had a better performance than the starters. And that doesn't shock me too much because if you look at the starting lineup of Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Zeller, those guys aren't big-time scorers. You know, you don't expect them to go out and put out, you know, 20-plus points or anything that like that. You maybe expect that from maybe Avery Bradley a couple times. David Lee's clearly possible of doing that. But the reserves came in and had a hell of a game, and they really carried them through the way. And my boy Jared Sellinger, you know, showed everybody why, you know, don't overlook him yet. You know, don't count him out yet, despite his conditioning, what everyone wants to talk about, his weight and everything. Clinic tonight, but Jared Sellinger really stepped up along with Isaiah Thomas and had a great game off the bench.
Do you think his conditioning looked any better in this game? I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the preseason games, but do you think coming into the season he looks any better physically, or you think he looks about the same, but he's just doing what he does?
Well, I mean, I saw him in person, and just from my eye test, he looked like he got slimmer from previous years. I mean, a lot of people say they don't see a real change. He doesn't look any different. But for me personally, I saw him, and I thought he looked slimmer. And with his performance tonight, I mean, it was no different than the Jarrett Sullinger we've known from the last couple of years. He's great at the paint, great rebounder. If he gets the ball underneath the basket, you know, he's good for scoring. He did what he has been doing over the last couple of seasons. I mean, the only thing with the conditioning where that plays in is if he was in better shape conditioning-wise, he could play longer minutes, be out there more, and probably put up better stats than he does. But he's been a consistent player for the team for the last couple of years, so I don't see anything wrong with how he played tonight. I mean, of course, his conditioning can improve, and I think it will, and I think he somewhat has really – focused in on that. And tonight, I mean, his preseason wasn't as good and it wasn't what everybody expected, but if tonight was any indication, he's really focused in and locked in for the season.
Yeah, no, totally, Mike. You got it. Don't jump off the Jarrett Sullinger bandwagon yet. He's
don't do it.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. We've talked about him a lot. You don't want to give up on this guy yet.
Don't do it.
So we've pondered this team a lot throughout the summer and the off season. So what do you think? I kind of already know what you think, but for everyone else, what do you think this team can win in terms of games? What seed could they possibly get? And what do you think they could do in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, coming out of the end of last season, I said only direction this team can go is up. And I felt like they had the pieces to do that, as long as Danny Ainge made the right moves and bring the right, you know, pieces in during the off season. And I mean, like we've talked about, they didn't bring any stars, necessarily big time stars, to the team. But I feel like, you know, with the new additions of David Lee and Amir Johnson, those guys fit right into Brad Stevens' system where, you know, it's all about collective success. And I mean, it could be anybody's night, any night. You know, anybody can step up and have the hot hand, whether they're starting, whether they're coming off the bench, because the minutes are going to go all around. So, I mean, I feel like this team definitely is going to get more than 40 wins, without a doubt. I don't put them over 45, though. I feel like, you know, they're steadily climbing. You know, this year they'll make a, you know, 2-3-4-game improvement, but nothing crazy, nothing major. And, I mean, they'll easily fall between, you know, the fifth and seventh seed, definitely. I could see them falling in there. And if they get to the first round, they'll definitely get a playoff win or two this year around. I don't see them getting swept by anybody in the East. I feel like they got the experience last year and the team has improved a little bit. And them getting swept in the playoffs or in the first round, I don't see that happening again.
Well, yeah, most importantly, they probably won't have to play Cleveland, right?
We can definitely avoid Cleveland, yeah.
That would be excellent. All right, Mike, you're a man of your word. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And
thank
good
you
thoughts,
guys. Thank you guys.
I'll talk
to you guys. Take it easy.
All right, see you, Mike.
Such a great.
Right. Yeah, we work together at Comcast Sportsnet, so we hang out for hours on end for a number of days per week, so we have a good time. So I told him that he should call in, and he said he would probably call in, and that he did. So good stuff. All right. So
Jeff, you said it's not. Oh, is it? Are you closing out, or do you want to continue? I'm sorry. I don't want to jump on you here.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna give my prediction for the season, and then I just want to just preview the next couple of games, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay. I'll ask you this next time. Then go ahead.
Okay. Well, you can. I mean, yeah, it's okay. We got 16 minutes left before you kicked off. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious because you made the comment to him that it's not time to give up on Sullinger yet. I think you said the same thing about Bradley. I'd just be curious if there is somebody who it's time to give up on yet, or is it never time to give up on anybody?
You got me in the corner here. Yeah, I know. I'm so loyal to all these guys. I'm always like, yeah, this guy's gonna do great, and let's keep him, even if he's not showing us that he can do that. I know I'm very guilty of that, is the word for that. I don't know. I mean, Evan Turner, last year I was a big fan of him. I like what he brought to the team, but as I see him kind of slide over to the bench here and get less minutes, it kind of, and just knowing that he's a little older of a player than some of these guys, and maybe doesn't have quite a ceiling as they do, even though he's not that old because he's only been in the league for 5 years or so. But on this team, that's kind of a lot. So the way that I saw him kind of fade out into the bench role and then only play 22 minutes and, you know, score 6 points, I could see him as a guy who could be on the way out. I don't necessarily want that, but it seems to kind of make sense.
You heard it here, folks. Jared Thomas. Thomas, right? I didn't say that wrong. That's correct.
Jess Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, Jess Thomas. I just call you Jared. My bad.
I think
Thomas,
too many Jareds, right?
I knew it sounded wrong. Yeah, Jess Thomas has given up on Evan Turner.
I don't know about giving up, but
mark it down in the book.
My hope is wavering. Yeah, I had to give you somebody. You asked for somebody, and you got to pick somebody.
Did.
So that's who I picked.
Sometimes you have to bury guys to retain your credibility, you know?
Right. I can't be totally loyal to everybody. I gotta knock somebody off. All right, so my predictions, I wrote them in the CLNS Radio staff predictions that we put up a couple days ago, so you can see all my thoughts there. But I think the team's going to win 47 games is what I stuck on for a number. I think that it's probably kind of what Mike said, probably between a 5 and a 7 seed. But, boy, I don't know if the Eastern Conference can just slip back a little bit. Maybe that could be good enough for a 4 seed, possibly. And that would be excellent because then you'd get home court for the first round, give you an even better chance of winning the first round series, which I think they're very capable of doing. So I could see maybe if they slip 4, maybe 5, win the first round series and then lose in the second round. I think that'd be a totally reasonable expectation for this team. And I think that'd be another successful season, you know, from the rise from 25 wins to 40 to 47 to not getting swept in the first round, winning the first round. Like that's progress. So I could see that as all being a possibility. Maybe that's the optimist in me. Maybe I'm crazy. We'll find out. But that's what I'm sticking to. And I like to be positive about the team. I'm going to watch them every day. Might as well be positive about how they're going to do. So that's what I'm sticking to. Want to remind everyone to get the mobile app, the CLNS Radio mobile app, which I use frequently for shows like this. Re-listen to Red Sox Beat, check out some Celtics Beat, all the shows over there on CLNS Radio. You can check it out on the mobile app from your iPhone or Android. You can head to www.clnsradio.com/iOSfree or www.clnsradio.com/android and download the app there. Make sure you check it out because it's a free app and you can hear all your shows. And it's very nice to be able to just listen to the shows whenever you want. I can re-listen to this show tomorrow and critique myself and see how I did. And it's free and it's right there on the phone. So I encourage everyone to go out there and check out the CLNS Radio mobile app. All right, Calvin, let's talk about the next few games here just to give people a little preview of what's to come in the next couple of games. We've got the Toronto Raptors at home on Friday, and then we got San Antonio Spurs at home on Sunday, 3 home games to start the season, and then they go off to Indiana on Wednesday for the first road game. So how do you see those games shaping up? Tough schedule. You know, Toronto was pretty good last year, maybe not so good this year, but there will be some challenges to face there. San Antonio is obviously San Antonio. They have Marcus Aldridge now, and they're even better than they have been, which is just terrifying. And then Indiana is obviously going to be better this year because they have Paul George back and the rest of their crew in line to probably squeak one of the lower playoff seeds out. So 3 tough-ish games, but some home games. How do you see those games playing out?
I mean, if there's any time to play San Antonio, it's now, right? They're typically not fast starters. They're integrating LaMarcus Aldridge into their offense. They look pretty good tonight in a loss to Oklahoma City. But, so I would say that they have a chance in that game. I don't think San Antonio is going to be San Antonio right away. So I think they'll win one of those 2 games, Toronto or even San Antonio. And then hopefully they'll take care of Indiana, who I don't think is as good as some people are predicting them to be the sort of team that can make the playoffs. I don't believe that they're that team. So I'm going to say they go 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's an outside chance they go 3-0, start the season off hot. It would definitely help, but 2-1 is definitely reasonable. Could be 1-2 with some, you know, you could lose to the Raptors and the Spurs, maybe not so much because they're home games. So they might be able to squeak at least one of those out and beat the Pacers. But yeah, if they can start the season 3-1 or 4-0, that would be fantastic. And even 2-2 wouldn't be too bad. You know, it's 500, you know, get off a couple wins, get comfortable, and I got to get your chemistry together and figure out who to play at what times and everything. So it'll be a learning process to get everyone to figure out what they can do, but it's, you know, they'll do it well. And tonight was a good start. They played a good game tonight. It was in case you missed it and just tuning in now, it was 112-95 victory for the Celtics. They were outscored in the first quarter, 26-21, but proceeded to outscore the 76ers 30-14 in the second quarter, 28-27 in the third, and 33-28 in the fourth. So they took care of them easily the last three quarters after the Warrior-like start, which Calvin so called me on because it was foolish to compare the lowly 76ers to the world champion Golden State Warriors. I will never do it again, Calvin. I'm never going to compare that again.
it was stylistically what I was complaining about.
Yeah, it was not real, but yeah, no, it deserved to be called on. It was, you know, it was good. Huh. I don't think a team with Hollis Thompson, Jakar Sampson, and Isaiah Cannon in the starting lineup should be compared to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. You know, speaking of that, Hollis Thompson was 3-15 tonight. Horrible. He fouled out. He couldn't have had much of a worse game, which really helps the Sixers be even worse than they already are. So. Never pointed out his horrendous stat line. So, but Jahlil Okafor, big time game, 26 points for the Sixers. Nerlens Noel, 14 points, 12 rebounds, also had 3 steals and 2 blocks. Isaiah Cannon had 4 threes and scored 18 points. So they got a couple of good players, but you know, past that, it's just a bunch of young guys. As long as Covington and Roten are out, so that's the 76ers story. And for the Celtics, just to reiterate, Isaiah Thomas had 27 points. Amir Johnson had 15 off the bench, 14 for Jay Crowder, 13 for Marcus Smart, 12 for Jared Sullinger, 7 rebounds for Sullinger and Johnson, 5 assists for Turner and Lee, and 7 for Thomas. 45% shooting for the Celtics, 26 for 27 for the free throw line was the big number that we pointed out. Excellent. And the starters were 14 for 14. So if you want to give the starters any credit tonight, for doing anything well, they shot free throws like a boss. So given for that, they 22 turnovers for the Sixers, terrible team. Celtics took advantage of it. So good win overall. Start the season 112-95. And that is going to do it for us here. Once again, this is the CLNS Radio Celtics post game show. Check it out after every single game this season. Call into the FanDuel call line at 347-215-7771. We'll both be back for future shows. I know I'm lead hosting 3 more shows in November, so I'll look forward to doing that. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon. But it was fun. We've had a number of great shows together, Calvin. It's a lot of fun to chat.
Definitely. And again, everyone, I'm glad you're back. Hopefully more of you guys will call in, more of you listeners. Feel free. We'll try to accommodate everybody who calls. Have a good one.
Yeah, I want to thank Mike and Mad Dog and Nick and Jared all for calling in tonight. It was good chatting with you all. Fill up the show nicely, and it's fun to be your host for the first game of the season. So hopefully we did CLNS Radio proud, and make sure you check out Friday night's post-game show. For Calvin Chamberlain, I am Jess Thomas. Good night.